You're tuned into WONY 90.9 on the outside. Red Dragon Radio. Thanks for listening. Keep it locked. This is Power Radio.
Every day, millions of Americans hit the road. Not everyone buckles up.
It's just a quick drive to school. I don't really need it.
In an instant, everything can change. Seatbelts cut your risk of serious injury or death in half. Seatbelts save nearly 15,000 people a year. Still, almost half of the people who die in car crashes weren't wearing one. No one ever plans for a crash. But every crash reminds us how fragile those few seconds can be.
When you buckle up, you're not just protecting yourself. You're coming home to the people who love you.
Please make sure you buckle up. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Reminding you to click it or ticket.
Hello, everybody. I hope everyone had such a lovely summer, discovering a bunch of new artists during the break. Moni is so excited to be back, and all of our DJs are sincerely looking forward to starting up all of their shows, starting this week. Make sure to stay tuned for all of your favorite student, community, and faculty-led shows coming back onto the air throughout the week, only on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. Make sure to stay cool, have a lovely start to your semester, and keep it locked.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? DJ Nuss for Mark Duke, Hunt Union, Basement, Wony. Got a special guest today. We're back on the radio. Wasn't here yesterday. I do not think I'll be on tomorrow. It's preschool for the kiddo, and he's got practice, so like me driving around at weird times. But I will be here on Friday with Tristan Jennings, talking about his band, Elisir, and some other things going on. But this morning, when she arrives, which hopefully should be somewhat soon, the great Rebecca Carrington, who graduated from SUNY Oneonta's music industry program and also is one of the owners of the B-side, the Auto Cafe, all these awesome things, is going to be here. She's walking in right now. She's walking in right now, but we're going to start. I'm going to get some stuff going. I'm going to start with, while I get her set up and stuff like that, I'm going to start. We're doing this Beatles rooftop thing this coming weekend. So I'm going to start with actually two. There's going to be a little bit of a surprise. I'm going to play a couple songs that we may or may not be playing at this thing. While I get these rolling, everybody, sit back and relax. Rebecca will be on in a minute, and enjoy the Beatles, yo.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. We We're sorry, but it's time to go. Sergeant Pepper's lonely. 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 Hearts go fast. We'd like to thank you once again. Sergeant Pepper's one and only lonely. Hearts go fast. It's getting very near the end. Sergeant Pepper's lonely. Sergeant Pepper's lonely. Sergeant Pepper's lonely.
All right, we back, yo. Okay, Rebecca's here.
Hi, everyone.
There she is. There she is, looking beautiful over there in the... That's her in the corner.
In my Beatles tea.
That's right, in her Beatles tea. And we had talked a while ago about doing some stuff with Ronnie Wood.
Yeah.
And she had mentioned this. So I was like, come on, get on here. So I finally got her on here. But before we start with all this, I've been doing these things this year. So I bought years ago, I guess years ago. Yeah, when I first got my house on Miller, I started collecting all kinds of things. But these old Trivia Pursuit card sets.
Oh, I love it.
And this one's from the 80s. So
oh,
this
nice.
Is the 80s edition. And what I do is every show I read, about every 6-7 minutes, I read one of the six questions. And you can guess, and I won't tell you the answer until tomorrow. So people have to tune in.
Ooh.
So this was from last time, and these are pretty risque. So I'm just, everybody, here's the questions and the answers from the last time, right? This is so bizarre, some of these questions. Once again, these are all from the 80s. So if anybody's out there going, well, this is what it should be, that you are incorrect. what female anti-gay activist noted, this is such a crazy thing. Remember, everybody, this is from the 80s, and this is not anybody's opinion. I'm reading a question from a card. What female anti-gay activist noted, if homosexuality were normal, God would have created Adam and Bruce? Look at that. That's a crazy thing. Anita Bryant?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. Okay. Two, what CBS show rated number one? What CBS shows rated number one and number two from September 1981 to April 1984? So what were the two top shows on CBS from 81 to 84?
God.
Right? One had J.R. Ewing in it.
Oh, Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas.
That was only 4 years?
Well, no, that was 4 years that it was rated number one.
Oh, I gotcha.
Right. So, and then the other one was 60 Minutes.
That's a show? I mean, I guess it's
Right? It's a new show, I guess. Yeah. But they also did spotlights and stuff. Okay, here's another really crazy.
My dad never missed 60 Minutes. Oh. Sunday nights, right? Every Sunday night, yeah. Andy Rooney at the end?
Andy Rooney.
It was all worth Andy waiting for Andy Rooney at the end.
Correct. Did you watch Dallas?
I did not. Not one episode. I'm happy to say.
My stepmother, Mary, I don't know if you're out there listening. Probably not. she's in Scotia, New York. But she liked Dallas. Okay, here we go. Here's some four more here. Who were offered to the U.S. government for $24 billion on December 21st, 1980?
I have
people.
No idea.
People. Who were offered to the U.S. government for $24 billion?
Like somebody that had been captured in another country?
Correct. What was going on in 1980?
80. Well, that was when John Lennon died.
Yeah, correct. But
I was in seventh grade.
You were in seventh grade. But what else was going on?
All right, I'm thinking. I didn't know a lot of news back then. I had more important things to do, like boys.
Oh, you're doing that's okay. Well, it's already gotten it's already getting risque this morning.
To think about. There was no doing to
1987.
Be had.
Okay.
Was that on the list?
I don't know if that's on the list. When Jeff Doyle was on, we kept going, is that on the list? No, the American hostages in Iran.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Duh. Remember the Iranian?
Oh, that I remember.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Here's a good one. What brand claims to put, in quotes, real gusto in a great light beer?
Oh, wow.
A light beer from the 80s.
Schlitz.
Yeah, that is Schlitz.
Oh, my God.
You got it right.
Figures I got a beer question right.
Schlitz. What American League baseball team was bought in 1979 for $12 million but sold in 87 for $70 million? Yeah, nobody's going to know this.
89, you said?
It was sold for $12 million in 79, but then... Oh. So bought in 79 for $12 million, but then went up to $70 million when it was sold in 87, which is a pretty good, profit margin there. The Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles. And then here's the last one. Who was hailed in the press as, quote unquote, the new godfather? And this is a real person. This is not like Al Pacino. Todd was on Devin said Al Pacino. So and that's a real person as well, but this is an actual person. Gangster.
Oh, I gotcha. Like right. Jimmy Hoffa or something.
Yeah, but it wasn't Hoffa. It was Gotti.
Gotti.
Yeah, John Gotti. Okay, so I'm going to ask one. Now, this one I won't tell the answers to, and every once in a while I'll read a question. This is the new card, everybody. Remember the categories, and I'll say the category for each one of these things. Blue is personalities. Here we go, 80s. What military uniform does U.S. Surgeon General, this is the Surgeon General from sometime in the 80s, right? C. Everett Koop wear? Well, what military uniform does U.S. Surgeon General C. Everett Koop wear? Interesting.
That's weird.
Okay, so there's your first question, everybody out there. I'll post the card later online so everybody can see and try to get it. Now, once again, if you're playing this game with us, do not cheat and use AI or the internet because that's lame and you're sad if you do that. Yeah. You should just guess. Okay.
You don't learn anything that way.
That's right. Well, you do kind of, but, you know, it's not a fun way of learning.
I don't know. You know, I've been reading things that when people use AI... And I'm not saying AI isn't great. Believe me, I use it all the time. But they, you know, when students do it, they don't retain the information.
Yeah. They just keep, we're given the answer, right? And then they just kind of spit it out.
Yeah.
So we have, once again, we have an, I did an introduction, but we'll do another formal introduction. Rebecca Carrington.
Hello.
Graduated, went to Oneonta High School.
Yes.
Yeah.
Graduated in 86. I'm celebrating my 40th reunion in 2 weeks, actually.
Is there going to be a B-side thing for that?
Yes.
Very cool.
In fact, so Saturday the 12th, we have a little private party till 8 o'clock, and then we have Steel Rail coming in.
Ye old Steel Rail.
Yeah.
We know of the Steel Rail.
And they're going to play. So we open up at 8 to the public, and they're going to do a lot of 80s tunes. So that should be fun.
That's awesome. The night before September 11th is I'm going to see Social Distortion in New York City.
Wow.
At the Brooklyn Paramount. So
awesome.
Maybe I will when I come back. Oh, and then I'm playing a car show at a funeral home the next day during the day.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's great.
Is that in Norwich?
It's in Morris, oh, okay. Which is awesome. It's the first one, and it's a benefit for stuff or something like that. But we're playing it from 12 to 3, so I'll be around that night. So I'll stop down and see the high school, 40-year high school reunion.
Yeah, well, we're, 1986 for high school graduation year, I'm sure there'll be a lot of alumni there. So
people were already asking me if I was going to be around that were from the town. They were like, oh, coming up for alumni.
It's always a fun weekend.
It is. And then you went to school here.
It was SUCO back then.
It was SUCO back then because we were
State
not a
university college at Oneonta.
That's right, because we weren't actually a university yet. It was a state university. We were the college at Oneonta.
Yeah.
Right?
And then 86 to 90.
To 90.
And I was one of the first graduates of the music industry program.
That's right. It's pretty amazing. You're in the Hall of Fame.
I am.
Music Industry Hall of Fame.
The first year inducted.
Which is pretty awesome.
Chuck Burnsworth, Dr. Burnsworth.
Who would be proud that we're going to be talking about Beatles.
Yeah.
That dude loved the Beatles. He also smoked cigarettes in his office.
Oh, my God. And I used to work in his office. I was his...
Oh, you did?
I was a TA. I was the only freshman he ever let TA.
Wow.
My second semester.
Chuck.
And I also was his audio assistant. And I redid all of his Beatles and rock and roll. It was all on reel to reel back then.
That's so crazy.
It was such a cool job.
I bet.
I loved it. So, he would go out and do those lectures. Yep. The lectures. He had a short one and a long one, and I did all four. I redid them. He went out and bought brand new vinyl.
Wow.
And I got to... Yeah, work with the vinyl, put it on to reel, and then I don't even remember how I did it.
That's so crazy.
But, I had to, time everything so that he, so that the volume would go up when he was done making a statement.
Sure.
And then, you know, and then, oh, I need 10 seconds to talk here. I don't know how I did it, but
that's amazing.
It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah, right?
I made money.
And you made money.
I made whatever minimum wage was. I think it was $3.35 at the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, a pack of cigarettes was like $1.20.
But, yeah, he would smoke the whole time. I was in
No,
there.
Totally. He was always, yeah. I just remember, because his last year was my first year here, I think.
Oh.
And I remember coming up and being like, yo, somebody's, and they never told him he couldn't anymore.
Oh, God.
Like, they weren't going to tell him no. He had been here since, like, 1910, you know,
He was awesome, and I always loved the Beatles lectures, too. They were just moving, and I don't know.
Yeah,
he just
no.
He did such a great job.
He was totally
he actually did one at the B-side. Before he passed away, like maybe a couple years before.
Oh, okay.
We were able to get him in to do one.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so if anybody remembers Chuck Burnsworth, he was an awesome dude. Okay, and then after that, you did a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
All kinds of. Let's talk about you first.
Okay, so when I graduated, my first job out of college was managing a record store chain in the Albany area called Records and Such.
Oh, I see. I didn't know this.
Yep. Wow. And so I moved there, and I worked there for about 3 years. And the thing that was so cool about that chain is the guy that owned it was actually one of the original people who started Transworld, which owned Record Town,
oh, yeah.
Tape World, Coconuts.
All Coconuts. Those. Oh, my God. We had a Record Town in the Mohawk Mall world.
Yeah, I mean, they were everywhere, right?
Yeah, Record Towns were like the... They were in a lot of the malls.
Yep.
That was a big...
It was a big record. Mall thing.
That and Strawberries.
Yeah.
Do you remember Strawberries?
I don't think they didn't own Strawberries.
No, I think there was a Strawberries in Schenectady.
That was separate.
Coconuts, though. And Tape World.
Yeah.
Tape,
so, yeah, I mean, tape. Record Town was the big one.
Yeah, that was the big one.
And then when tapes, cassettes came out, you know, they yeah. expanded. And I don't know where Coconuts came from. But so anyway, he broke off. The other guy who owned it, his name was Bob Higgins. And so they parted ways and he started Records and Such, which was a 3-store chain. But we worked directly with the record labels, the distributors. You know,
so crazy.
So I got to know all these important people that work for the distributors. So eventually sure. I got offered a job with Polygram Group Distribution,
okay.
which owned like A&M, Mercury, Island. They had, a great repertoire. And my job was so awesome. I was like a marketing rep in the field, so I'd go into all the record stores, make sure they had our product. I'd put up displays. That was back when, like, you know, they would put displays in their windows and
yeah.
up on the walls. And my other part of the job was setting up backstages for shows. And picking up like artists at the airport and taking them to the radio station interviews and things like that. So it was really cool.
So wild. And that was mainly just in the Albany area?
Yeah. Mostly in the Albany area, but it also reached to like Binghamton.
Okay.
And
did you work with Pix 106 at all? Do you remember Pix 106 classic rock?
Yeah. was that Binghamton?
No, that was Albany area.
Okay. I did do a lot with EQX.
Okay.
I remember
that. Yeah, so there was EQX, and then there was, Pix 106. I always just know John Broder and I.
Yeah.
You know John.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to try to be the sixth caller on Pix 106 so we could win concert tickets. Like, that was our thing, you know what I mean? We would just, like, spend all day, like, you know. Whether or not we were in school or not, I'm not going to say, but we would, like, try to make the call, you
know? Well, it's funny. You think back to the Ticketmaster days where you had to physically go somewhere to a Ticketmaster and stand in line.
Yeah.
And to get your tickets. And if you were lucky enough to be the first person in line, you might get front row, you know, if the person... punching out the tickets was competent enough.
That's right.
I had a girlfriend who worked at Village Music in town.
That's what I was going to say, Nick.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of tickets from him.
Yeah. But she was so good at it. I mean, we would get like first three, four rows every time.
That's an inside job, you know.
Yeah. I feel a little guilty, but I'll tell you, there's nothing like going to a show and being right up front.
100%. You know? I mean, I've done a bunch, but I think the only ones I scored front row tickets to was Aerosmith on the Pump Tour, and Steven Tyler handed me a balloon.
Oh, cool.
At SPAC.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I've been front row for a bunch of smaller shows, you know, because yeah. it's general admission. You can kind of walk up. Mm-hmm. But I think that was the only show I actually scored a front row ticket to. But I remember we won one ticket. I went to go see the Cowboy Junkies, mm-hmm. right? And they were opening for another band. And I didn't know the other band. And it was the Dave Matthews Band.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't really know them.
Yeah.
So it was really funny. At the Palace.
Oh, nice. I love it.
Yeah, so I won tickets, and we were like, we went there to go see the Cowboy Junkies, you know, not Dave Matthews, you know, and it was like, whatever, Dave Matthews, like, I just, like, and then that one song came on Ants March, and I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I kind of know this song, you know, and now Dave Matthews is just, like, sells the world out, you know.
Isn't that crazy?
It's so bizarre seeing bands like that. So you do that job, right? And then you also work for a magazine, right?
For Magnet Magazine Philadelphia for years. I sold all their advertising. So that was the other thing that was great, because I worked with indie labels, major labels, and I got to know everybody.
And that's super cool.
It was awesome.
Magnet was a pretty big magazine, too.
Yeah, I think it still exists.
It might.
We had a falling out in the end, unfortunately. And so I ended up not working with them anymore. I mean, they actually, so my brother and I own this company called J.V. Johnson & Associates, and we were a publisher's rep firm.
Yep.
And so magazine publishers hired us to sell their advertising as opposed to having employees. It was just, all they had to do was pay us a percentage as opposed to, you know, all the things that go along with having a real employee instead of an independent contractor.
Yep.
And so Magnet was one of those. There were a few other music ones I worked for, but that was the biggest
one.
And
he also owned ZOZ?
He owned Banjo Radio Guru.
He owned Banjo Radio
Guru. I was a part of that as well.
Okay.
Before
Town Square.
Yes.
Yeah, he sold to Town Square. You guys sold to Town Square? They bought it. I don't even know what's going on over there anymore. There's no DJs.
I know. Right.
I
think it was.
There's nothing wrong.
Square,
I get it. Hey, this is part of the thing.
Well,
computers have
he got
taken
out
over before.
We got out like in the nick of time before everything started to change. So
yeah, what was that record store that was above? There was a record store above the Corfu.
I know what you're talking about.
What was that guy's name? Remember that guy? He had a record store.
Yeah,
there?
I would bring in a bunch of CDs and stuff that I would get his promos and sell them to him, because I just would get so much stuff and I didn't have place to store it all.
That was like a weird hidden, like it was a bizarre place.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it, but yeah.
Okay.
So that was in the '90s.
And that was in the Cause I used to go there in the mid-90s.
Corfu.
Yeah. It was Scorchies.
Scorchies.
Right. So it was like Scorchies, then the Corfu, I think.
Which
right?
way, way back in the day was Les Caras's.
Okay.
It started where the History Center is and then moved to the other end.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like back in, you know, the 50s and 60s.
I just remember coming into town here and then being like, there was some cool record stores. Like I said, I would go see Nick at Village Music.
There was one on Main Street where maybe Wise Guys is now, called Cactus.
Okay, I don't know if I remember that. I remember the theater on Elm Street. Remember that? That little theater?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was awesome. It was like the 1 and 2 or something.
That was
like,
so cool.
Yeah, it was like a little theater.
The back room there was very mysterious.
The whole thing was the whole thing was crazy. It was awesome. I saw a bunch of movies there, because I would always go to that theater.
The guy that owned the theater on Chestnut owned that one, too.
Yeah.
DeGraw. His name was DeGraw.
Yeah, DeGraw. Crazy Oneana times. So, okay, you work for all this. And then I remember, I think you were still working for that magazine when Dry Hill went up, or when Dry Hill started. Yeah, right.
So Dry Hill Studios started in my house.
I recorded an album there.
You did?
I did. I recorded an album called Waiting for Mingus, which was what I was going to name Ella if she was a boy.
Oh, wow.
And I recorded an album there before. We didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
So this is in 2001.
Okay.
Right? In the summer of 2001, I recorded an album with Wayne.
Gosh, I don't remember that.
They're called Waiting for Mingus in, like, whatever room it was in that, you know.
It ended up being Aben's bedroom.
Aben's bedroom.
After it wasn't a studio anymore.
That's super funny. Yeah, but I was in there recording an album, and I never pressed it or anything, but I still have it. It's so crazy.
Well, Dry Hill started so that Wayne could record his stuff. I mean, Wayne probably wrote 200-plus songs.
Sure.
And this band from Hartwick got word that we had a studio and contacted him. They were called Shades of Gray, I think.
Okay.
Or something like that. And so he's like, oh, okay, yeah, come in. And then that was it. Then he kept booking people and never recorded his own stuff.
Yeah, of course. By the way, Wayne, where's the album, yo?
Yeah.
If you're listening, I'll keep pestering you.
You can't even play guitar right now, so.
Yeah. So I remember Dry Hill, and then Dry Hill got built, and then.
So Dry Hill got built in my childhood home. We bought that from my parents, put our offices there for J.V. Johnson and Associates.
Yep.
And then the back barn, he and Andres, we'll say, built that.
Yep. And it's still rolling.
It's still there, yeah. I mean,
Andres owns the house.
Andres owns the house now. Yeah. He's lived there for a long time, and eventually we're like, hey, man, you want to just buy the house?
Yeah, exactly. Let's try to get rid of stuff, right? Yeah, you'd really take this over. Then the kids come. Yeah, a couple kids.
So, Wayne did the Subduing Mara thing for 10 years.
Oh, that's right.
Then we started a band to play his stuff called the Carbondale Shafts with Brian Wilkins.
Correct.
We did have a drummer for the first year, and then it went to just a trio.
Who was
after that? Adam Militello.
Okay. Is that after Carbondale, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Crazy.
Anyway, so we actually toured quite a bit. I mean, we would play the city and, we didn't really go out of the state, but we would tour the state, let's say.
Yeah.
And we were pretty busy and it was great. And we were on a really cool show. If you Google Carbondale Shafts, I'll have to think about it, but it was out of Albany. It was almost like a MTV Unplugged, but it was an Albany thing. Oh, because we had won Best Alternative Country Band 2 years in a row for Metroland.
Oh, for the Metro, which is back now, by the way. You know that.
Oh, it is. I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, Aaron Harks is running it. It's,
oh, cool.
It's very cool. Yeah,
that was such a great.
Metroland's back, everybody.
We had a lot of friends that worked there. Anyway, so we got to be a part of this show. You can find us online.
Okay.
And watch the show. It was really cool. We got to do like 5 songs.
Where was that?
And I was pregnant for Aben at the time. I was 7 months pregnant for him.
So that was 2001 as well, right?
That was 2001. Oh, yeah. No, it was 2000. December 2000 that we did it.
Okay.
Like the middle
when
of December.
When is his birthday?
January 14th.
2001.
No. Yes.
Okay, yeah, so he's same years out. So him and Ella went to the prom together.
They went to the prom together. Yes. They were so cute.
It's so awesome. So, yeah, our kids
were
kind
really
of,
good friends.
Yeah, they were good friends. So,
that's awesome.
Okay, so completely, I remember doing sound for the Carbondale Shafts on the deck of the Autumn once. You guys played out there for something.
Well, so once Andrew was born.
Yeah.
And when he got to be one, I just couldn't do it anymore with 2 young kids.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of fizzled out, unfortunately. But we were going to record a record too.
Mostly,
it was all Wayne's stuff, but that never happened either, unfortunately.
Yeah. Wow, crazy. So long ago. And then if we fast forward a little bit, just because look what time it is. Like half over. It's crazy. We didn't even get to what we were supposed to talk about.
Well, we got to talk about the Beatles show on Saturday.
There's a bunch of stuff we got to talk about. But you fast forward. So now you are, this is huge, right? You've done something in the late, when did the B-side open?
Okay, so
15 years ago? Is it that long ago? No. Yeah?
It's we're in our 14th year, which...
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, the anniversary of our moving into our 15th year will be October. Yeah.
That makes sense. I quit drinking a year into...
Oh, wow.
A year into this.
Oh, no wonder we didn't make much money those first 5 years.
That's correct.
Because you weren't drinking. Shit.
I wasn't drinking. I quit. I remember... And the B-side's awesome, by the way, but my rule at the B-side when I was drinking that first year when it opened was two Manhattans, good night. If it was a three Manhattan night,
oh yeah,
I was at the Oak until 4 a.m. or whatever, you know? So it was like always being careful. But, okay, that's pretty awesome. So that's going to be 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, it blows my mind. So we were both selling advertising, and Wayne used to travel a ton. And Andrew said to him one day, Daddy, do you live in Florida now?
Oh, this is so sad. Look at this.
So
wow.
He took that year to wind down and get out of what he was doing. He was working mainly for Dwell Magazine at the time.
Yeah, okay.
And, during that time, the pub... had closed.
Yes, and General Clinton Pub.
My uncle owned the plaza at the time.
Yep.
And he had heard Wayne talk all the time, I want to open a music venue. So he called us up and he's like, hey, this space is available. Like, this could be perfect. So we thought about it maybe for a month and finally decided, let's do it. And it never was supposed to be a restaurant. It was supposed to just be a music venue bar.
Yeah.
But back then, in order to get a liquor license, you had to have food.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. One thing led to another. He did renovate for almost 2 years.
Oh, I remember. It was awesome. I remember going in there. And like,
if anyone had been in the pub, which I know you had, before it was the B-side... they were like, oh my God, how could this have been the pub? I mean, he transformed this awful like dive bar into
was it awful?
Beautiful space.
I guess it was. But well, I actually loved it. We all loved the pub. We did.
I will tell you, for the first like 6 months that he would come home from working, and this man worked 16 hours a day every day for two years.
For his life.
No, he does. I would make him take all his clothes off at the back door outside. That's how gross they were.
Oh, it was so gross in the pub, but we loved it.
Yeah.
We did. Well, lots of good shows in there.
The story I always tell is the woman's bathroom, you would have to, like there were two stalls.
Oh, yeah.
But you had to walk over the girl's knees in the first stall to get to the second stall.
Yeah.
So that was always a little weird to, you know, walk over somebody as they're going to the bathroom to get to the next stall.
It's like the trash. It's like what was the Mars
and how,
bar? The Mars bar in New York City, you know, is like those like joints too, like all in the East Village.
Yeah.
Those bars there were disgusting.
CBGB's, that was disgusting.
It was totally disgusting. That and the Continental and all those. Yeah, it was super crazy. Okay, and then you guys got the Autumn on top of it after when that closed down. 2018? No,
it was 2017.
17.
We bought it in January and then reopened in 18.
Reopened in 18.
We renovated there for a year.
Yep.
Unfortunately, when we bought it, my mom wasn't in good health, and so it took us about 4 months until her passing to get started, and that was one of the reasons why it took so long.
Yeah. Also, that needed a good cleansing. Well, I had worked there for years, you know, and it was well-seasoned, I'll put it that way.
Well, one of the issues was that the hood over the, you know, the cooking and whatnot wasn't that great. So that was the first thing we replaced. And because of that, like the ceiling and the walls, everything was just caked with oil.
Yeah, once you just...
So it just took a while to get rid of that.
Yeah.
But do you remember how let's say you were at a party and someone would walk in and you'd be like, oh, my God, you've been at the Autumn, because you could smell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They smelled like a hot open veggie.
That's right.
Oh, wow. I know where you had dinner tonight.
Oh,
so
my God. It's so
that
gross.
Doesn't happen anymore.
That's correct. It does not. But it was a smell that I was very fond of for 20 years
yeah.
of my life.
I mean,
soy well, oil and
Wayne
broccoli.
Wayne and I used to eat there sometimes three times a day.
Yeah, you were always there.
We were always there.
Okay, so before I'm going to ask a couple questions. Here's a couple questions so I can make sure I can get through these. Look what time it is. Jeez. Okay. What Bananarama number became the fourth single of the rock era to reach number one in versions by two different artists?
Oh.
Wow, I know the answer to this.
Was that
one.
A cover that they did, though?
It was.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say the answer. If you know the answer, you could try to say it, but I'm not going to say whether it's correct or not. What Bananarama number or song became the fourth single of the rock era to reach number one in versions by two different artists?
It's funny how I know it was a cover, but I can't think of what it was.
It's a good one. Okay, here's another one. Who was the butt of the joke? What do you get if you cross a hawk with a chicken? This is from the 80s, right? Who was the butt of the joke? What do you get if you cross a hawk with a chicken?
I have no idea. Is this a sport thing?
Nope.
No.
It's what is in the news. Okay, I'll ask one more, and then at the end I'll ask the last two questions. Here we go. This is Brown. This is That's Life. I don't even know what that means. What unlucky percentage of Americans were illiterate, according to a 1986 report? Wow. What was the percentage of illiteracy in 1986 in America?
I have a feeling it was high.
It's not as high as I thought it would be. Interesting. Okay, we'll come back for the last two near the end of this show. So one thing I do want to do is play this song. So we were supposed to do this. I remember you pitched to me one time doing this whole thing about Ronnie Wood and his relationship with
Patty Boyd,
which
I wasn't aware of.
You're going to have to come back, and we're going to have to do a whole episode on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do that, and then I also want to prove that George Martin was the fifth Beatle.
Okay, so this is going to be
fun. So at some
point,
we'll do that, too.
Yeah, we have to do this, too. there's so many things to do. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about... Well, we're going to listen to this. So we're going to listen to a Ronnie Wood tune.
Yep.
And then we're going to come back and discuss something going on this weekend, which is pretty fun. And then I'll read these questions, and then we'll, whatever, we'll figure this out. So what are we listening to?
Okay, so this song is called Mystifies Me.
Okay.
And the thing that intrigued me so much about it was the story behind him writing it. As everybody knows, Patty Boyd was a huge muse to George Harrison and Eric Clapton. You know, we got Something and Wonderful Tonight. I mean, you know, if you're into music at all, everyone knows that. And she's always intrigued me. I read her book, and I don't know. And she's still alive, too. Like now,
I didn't even know that.
Now my goal is to meet her someday so we can chat more about it. But anyway, so I did some investigating and to see if there was anything else out there that you know, she inspired that I wasn't aware of. Turns out she and Ron Wood had an affair.
Boop, naughty.
But it was weird. Like, George Harrison knew about it. Like, it was like wife swapping, pretty much. But he fell in love with her and wrote this song about her.
Interesting.
And the weird thing is I'm a huge Uncle Tupelo, Wilco, Sunvolt fan.
Yep.
And Sunvolt, Jay Farrar, did a cover of this. And I always thought Sunvolt had written it.
Gotcha.
So that was what the big epiphany was for me, that Ron Wood wrote this song. Now, he wrote it when he was in, is it The Faces?
With Rod Stewart.
With Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
Rod Stewart did not like the song.
Okay.
And didn't want to do it with The Faces. So Ron finally was like, well, I'm going to do my own record. So this is off. What's the record called? I can't remember.
Looking at it right now. Let's see. This record is called... I've got my own album to do.
Yeah. So, and honestly, it's really good.
It's got Jagger and Richards and Rod Stewart.
Well, the
and
funny
Mick
thing
Taylor.
Is
it's got a lot of the Stones on it.
I think Harrison's on it too, right? Or no?
It doesn't say Harrison.
Okay. Well, Rod Stewart, even though he didn't like this song, ended up singing the backup vocal for it. So okay. There you go.
So we're gonna put this song on. Hold on 1 second. It's coming. Here we go. Mystify. Gears. Yeah, we were blabbing over here, and then we're like, oh, the song's over.
So much to talk about.
Yeah, you can hear Rod in there, and it's cool, like the backing band, like there's three members of the Stones in there.
Yeah.
Right, Mick.
Yep.
Right, and then Keith. There's a really great, I took a photo of it. There's a great Keith with his classic hair as on the back cover in the corner. It's so amazing.
Have you ever seen the Stones?
Yes, so I saw the Stones once. I saw them on the Steel Wheels tour in Syracuse at the Dome with Living Color opening up.
Oh,
and it was a really good show. I don't necessarily like that album, Steel Wheels, but it was one of those things where when it came out, I was very much into AC/DC, Aerosmith, Led Zeppelin. I was in high school. Right, like probably ninth grade or something when that came out. So I was and playing guitar. So I was very a hard rock, hair metal.
Was that the late '80s?
So yeah, I think it came out in '89 or '90 because Living Color, Vivid came out in 1989 or '90. Okay. So it was that when that first Living Color album they opened. So it. Must have been right around there. I think maybe 1990 or whatever. Mixed Emotions was the main single on that album. And the album was I didn't buy the album, the Stones album, but I remember owning, is it Hot Rocks?
Yeah.
Like one of those.
Well, there's
like,
Hot Rocks 1 and Hot Rocks.
Yeah, it's like a greatest hits thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, I had known the Stones from my aunt. I remember buying or owning Tattoo U.
Tattoo U is my favorite.
Yeah, and I remember, favorite like, Stone listening record. To that album.
That came out in the 70s.
81.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I think 80, 81?
No, you're probably right.
Start Me Up. Yeah, that was 81. I think it was 81. So I remember her doing it, and I remember you know what my favorite song on that album is?
What?
Little TNA.
Oh, God.
Of course it's that. And they actually played that. Yeah, they actually, and that was about his wife that he wound up marrying. Yeah.
Oh,
and has been married to ever since.
Yeah.
I remember once again, there's Waiting on a Friend is on that, I believe. You know,
my favorite is Slave.
Yeah.
Boom, boo doo.
So good. Tattoo You. Let's see.
I'm always trying to get Andrew's band, Redshift. What was that? What was
Redshift.
That band?
Yeah, 81. It was 81.
To do that. Yeah. I mean, they're not together. Well, they're LSE-er now.
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of. It's like Steel Wheels. Let's see. Album. When? What year was this? 89. Okay, that totally checks. You know, I remember once again listening to like Sympathy for the Devil and like Start Me Up, and my aunt would always play those albums. And I remember MTV kind of, the Stones, those early Stones videos were really funny, like Mick's just totally weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just doesn't like, I don't know. Anyways, it was just, it cracked me up.
Well,
so I was like, oh man, listen to this band. This band's crazy. Like,
I mean, when did Charlie Watts die? Like a couple of years ago?
5 years ago, maybe?
Is it that long?
6 years ago.
I mean, obviously, Brian Jones died early on, which, you know, was probably a drug-related thing. And then...
It was Mick Taylor. No, right?
Did he die?
No, but he was in the band, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
or after that, maybe?
And then Ron Wood?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that.
Well, anyway, it's just interesting to see the longevity...
Oh, yeah.
These guys, the other guys from the Stones, you know, like, I mean.
100%. And when I was growing up, you know, I just knew them with Ron Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know anybody before. Like, when I saw, because I'm 51, so when I saw videos and stuff like that, I always saw Ronnie Wood.
Sure.
You know, and I remember the first time being like, oh, is that Ronnie Wood playing on Hot Legs or something? Like some Rod Stewart thing or something? And I was like, yeah. What? You know, and I was like, he played with Rod Stewart? I had no idea.
Yeah.
You know, Stay With Me. That was like one of the big songs from the Faces, right? In the morning. Stay
Tonight
With Me.
You're gonna stay.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Yeah.
Okay, so, man, we only have like 8 minutes. So we're going to talk really quickly about something.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't even see. This is what happens when you're on this show.
I know. All right,
it goes
I'm
really quick.
Back. I'm coming
here's,
back.
Here's two questions, late. And then we'll talk about Beatles, and then we're going to, okay. I'll play a song at the end here, right? What Summer Olympic sport did the IOC, which is the International Olympic Committee, consider abolishing due to the number of athletes testing positive for drugs? This was in the 80s, everybody.
I do remember this.
Oh, man. They thought about abolishing this particular sport because of drug use and probably performance-enhancing drugs. I would say steroids, probably, at that time.
Would it be, like, lifting?
Well, I'm not going to say whether
I
or
know
not
you're not.
You're, whether you're correct or not, but you may be correct on that. Okay. And then here's, oh my God, this is super crazy. Okay. This is nuts. What teeny, in parentheses, star recorded the voice of Rex the Robot for Disneyland's Star Tours? This is really funny. Oh, they get these answers. Awesome. Okay. So I'll post this card up for everybody. I'll be back on, I don't think I'm going to be here tomorrow. I'll be back on Friday with Tristan.
Oh, he's gonna boy.
Be yeah, exactly.
Tristan's filling in for Steel Rail for a couple of shows because Amar isn't available. So.
Oh, I know. He was supposed to.
If you're a Tristan fan, go see Steel Rail.
Yeah, Tristan was theoretically supposed to. Tristan, speaking of the Beatles stuff, he was the fifth Beatle.
Yeah.
but he's not here because he's playing with Steel Reel. So he decided to do the Steel Reel gig instead of the Beatles show.
I wondered why. I mean, I know Matt's filling in, right? So,
well, Matt's just part of the cams now, so it just makes it way more sense for him to do it. So Tristan, poo-poo on you, even though Steel Reel's great. But, like, you know, whatever.
It's hard to find a good guitarist.
Correct.
You know, Tristan. It's even harder to find, you know. Well, whatever.
Yes.
I can't get into it.
It's hard to find a lot of things these days. Okay. Anyways, on Saturday, and I'm not allowed to charge people with doing anything, so I'll have to have, I can't tell people to go do things on the
radio.
What
are you talking about?
I'm not allowed to do it as a radio host.
Oh.
I can't tell people to go do things.
Oh, well,
But you can, because I'm part of this also, so that would be some kind of, like, nepotism kind of thing, using the radio to promote my own whatever.
But it's a community event.
There we go. We'll
This Saturday, September 5th, hopefully it's not going to rain. We will be doing the Beatles rooftop show on the deck, playing towards South Main Street.
Yep.
Mark, Ned, Orion, Matt, and Andrew.
Yes.
And they'll be doing, is it going to be the traditional Beatles
songs? So from what I've heard, it's going to be the rooftop songs, which is what they are played every
year. The ones they actually
did. Yeah, there's five of those before they got shut down. And then prior to that will be 10 other Beatles tunes, one from each of the main studio albums.
And that's still towards the street? Or,
yes. Okay. Yeah, so that's
before
so
you turn around.
What will happen is those 10 songs will be played first, then the rooftop to end it.
Oh, okay.
And then I think the band is going to turn around and then play as another band called the Mopar Cash.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know that's going to happen.
But the fun thing is bring a, you know, bring chairs, bring a cooler, whatever you want.
It should be closed at 5:30 the street.
Okay. It starts at 6:30.
Yep. So the street will be closed from 5:30 to 8.
And this is the third annual.
Correct. Third annual, hopefully of a million annuals.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. And if it does rain,
It goes to the B side.
It goes to the B
That's
side.
That's the rain. And it won't be, you know, rooftop, but we'll still be able to hear the great music and not get wet.
And although we didn't talk about it, I really think probably still 6:30. I think that's probably the best thing just because we don't change the time.
Yeah, does I mean, work? We'll have to
It'll be a little wild.
A couple hours before or whatever.
You know, either way. But
before you set everything up and then it gets poured on and somebody gets electrocuted.
There's only like a 10% chance of rain right now, but it's during that time, so we'll see what happens. Either way, it's a pretty exciting thing. I think it's something that's positive.
Ooh, and can I say who's sponsoring it?
Yeah, 100%.
Can I say that?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So this year, Oneonta Subaru is sponsoring it.
Yep, five-star.
Five-star. Right? Oh, I said that wrong.
Well, five-star Subaru.
Okay, five-star Subaru is sponsoring it, and we really appreciate that support from them.
Yeah because sound-wise, it is... you know, it was really funny. Last year, I did this. I always do the sound for. I did the sound for the first 2 years just because it was the band playing, and we needed a bigger board. The board I use for my band only has four channels, so I grabbed one that was donated to us from SUNY Oneonta, and it wound up being one of Wayne's old boards. Because somehow Andres had it, right? And then donated to SUNY Oneonta, and it was just sitting there. It was an old board, an old Allen and Heath. And then I wound up being like, oh, look at this board we have up here. I'm going to use this. And I was like, man, I can't get it to work. And Wayne was like, I know how to make that thing work. And he just like,
he
just like kicked it a couple of times and it like worked. It was awesome. I was like, it's working now. Super funny. He's like, that's my board.
He's a magician.
Yeah. Anyways, I will be back on Friday. I'm going to leave everybody out there in Radio Land with another Beatles, a Harrison tune.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, good one.
It's one of my favorites to play on bass, too.
So an interesting thing about it, the top 10, somewhat people think of the top 10 Beatles tunes, or maybe the ones that made the most money or whatever, three of those were written by Harrison. What are they? Let's see if we can figure it out. I know what they are, but
are you asking me?
Yeah,
right
I'm asking
now?
You. Three of them are written by Harrison.
While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Was that in there? You think so? Now I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah. Okay, what else?
Something.
Yep.
And I don't, I mean.
Yeah, there's a big one. It's on Abbey Road. Oh, is it on Abbey Road? Yeah.
What else do you write on Abbey Road?
Here Comes the Sun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Here Comes the Sun.
So three of those songs were written by Harrison.
Yep.
And Taxman.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Like, he wrote amazing. He didn't do a huge output of writing for the Beatles.
Well, they only allowed him, what, two songs a record?
Something like that. Yeah, they allowed
him. I mean, and, you know, Ringo got one, and I don't think he wrote any of them, but.
No, they were just like, Ringo, you sing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You do that cover.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've got the song about an octopus, right? So, but no, but, and all the Harrison stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
I love Harrison.
Oh, my God.
He's my favorite solo artist out of the four of them. He's by far my favorite.
Dark Horse is one of my favorites. I mean, that's obviously not a Beatles song, but, yeah. I will say, though, as much as I love Taxman,
yep.
My favorite song on Revolver is Tomorrow Never Knows.
Okay.
I would say it's one of my favorite Beatles songs.
That checks. On that note, I'm going to play just a snippet of it, and then I got to play the piece.
All right. So. Well, this was fun.
It was also fun. Rebecca, you're amazing. I'm going to post some stuff online a little bit. Everybody enjoy Taxman for a second. I'll see you tomorrow or Friday.
One, two, three, four. One, two.